Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. This message is a kind of a combo of an exposition on Parashat Toledot, but also I'm going to combine elements of a State of the Union address. Kind of a combo, because when do I get to say these things to you? I was thinking, when can I share some thoughts about where we are and where we're going and what we're all about? And there's no real forum. So we'll grab this as a forum, and hopefully the connection between the Parsha and what I want to say about Ruach has a certain organic quality to a certain connection that we can all relate to. I want to tell you a little bit about Parashat Toledot. What is this Parsha all about? It's really all about continuity. Continuity. Ooh, what a blessed idea that one is. It starts out with Ve'ele Toledot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham holid et Yitzchak. These are the generations of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham gave birth or begot Isaac, and then it continues on through Jacob. And a lot of the Parsha, as Dave reminded us, is about Jacob and Esau. But the overarching idea is these are the generations, this idea that God is moving things forward. And he does it through this unique family and their children and their grandchildren and those who follow them. And unlike the pagan view of history, which was obviously all over the place in those days, that's cycles that go like this. They're endless cycles. They go round and round and round. You know, you got summer and you've got fall and you got winter and then you got spring and you got summer. And we believe in those cycles too, but our cycles go like this. Zoom, They're going somewhere as opposed to just a cycle. Here, Parashat Toledot is all about this goal of building toward, we could say, history's ultimate purpose. That's really what we're talking about in this Parsha. The thing, however, we learn from this Parsha is continuity that is building forward is always fragile. It is very, very fragile. And when we think about it, think about the majority of the Parsha. We hope you read the Parsha during the week, and you'll know it's about Jacob and Esau, and it's all about this titanic break in their relationship. And didn't you find the reading from the Sidra, that's the little section today, touching and poignant, where Esau comes in after hunting for his dad, and he's going to get this fantastic steak dinner ready for him, and he's got the potatoes, he's got the carrots, he's got everything, and he shows up, and his father had given the blessing to his younger brother, and Esau cries, "Dad, don't you have a blessing for me?" But this is a kind of special thing, this blessing. It's not just like, "I think you're terrific, kid." It's like this blessing propels history forward. There's a lot to blessings and cursings, but it's an incredibly poignant picture. And we have the discontinuity here of the elder brother saying, "As soon as Dad's mourning period is over, I'm going to kill him." I mean, do you get how dramatic that is? Not, "I'm going to beat him up," you know. "I'm going to take the kid's, his life. This is his flesh and blood." He's talking about killing him. It's a heavy-duty thing. Discontinuity, breaking or threatening to break the pattern of this wonderful movement toward God's objective. See, God's kingdom is built to last. I love that phrase, built to last. And he wants us to be, as a synagogue, to be built to last too. But this idea of the fragility, I'll give you a quick story. In 1979, Sue and one-year-old David went to Chicago to join a small Messianic Jewish organization. And I had just finished that first degree at the seminary, the graduate degree. And we went there filled with hope, and wow, we get to build something great, and we're with such smart and good people, this is going to be fantastic. And we went there, and to make a long story short, it was a disaster. You see, there was a genuinely demonized woman. Now, I don't use that term in this particular case metaphorically or kind of a dramatic way to talk about just kind of a more usual psychological issue. No, this woman had the real stuff. I mean, it was real, and that's another whole story I can tell you privately, whatever. I'm telling you, this was the real thing. I heard it with my own ears, and I saw it with my own eyes, and it was something. And she capitalized on this emotionally needy group of people, and she was able to insinuate herself among them in such a way that it destroyed the group. And while this happened over a two-year period, no one said a word to us. It was a big secret. And then when we learned about it, we went, oh my, we got to get out of here. Well, we learned about a little congregation in Boston, and here we came. But what I'm telling you is that continuity, building something, is fragile by its very nature. Now, I want to talk with you about Ruach, because again, I want to say some things that I don't get to say that much, but they're really kind of neat and exciting. And I want you to be excited today and energized, not because of idealizing ourselves or anything like that. Hopefully we can avoid that. That's deadly. But rather to talk about some of the key values which guide us and which can help us go for another 40 years, because this coming year, we will be 40 years old. Is that middle age? I don't know anymore what middle age is. I have lost track. It keeps going up and up. I want to talk about how we are approaching the issue of continuity and success so that this first 40 years becomes a prelude to a first movement, right? The next 40 years. That's where we're going with this. So as I have thought this week about what makes us tick, it begins with a pamphlet. Well, we put it in a pamphlet. It begins with an idea called Where We Stand. But basically, it's a set of core beliefs that guide what this congregation is all about. If you're going to have a congregation that has any kind of longevity, you have to have some carefully thought out principles that guide the future of the community. I'm talking about basic core beliefs. People in our congregation have lots of beliefs about lots of things. We have people on broad range on the political spectrum, and people have different ideas, and that's all cool and beautiful. But there are certain things that you gotta have. For example, for us, the concept of Scripture as being a bottom line reality informed by the rabbinic tradition and to some extent by the tradition of the historic Christian church, insofar as the church has reflected on things like the nature of Yeshua, all of that, it's part of the bottom line. Or our relationship to the non-Jewish segment of the community of Yeshua. These are bottom line issues. So we're talking about having a core set of beliefs. And I'm very proud of what we've done with that, because not only are they beautiful and ennobling, but they really do allow us to function together. If you try and build a community, I'm telling you, try and build it just on the basis of good vibes and everyone being nice, doesn't work. You have to have some core convictions which guide the group. That is, when people become members, we ask them to be able to affirm these things, not to understand them exhaustively or to be able to re-articulate them. It's pretty sophisticated stuff. But to say, yeah, I get that. I'm going with that. So the idea of core beliefs, very, very important. Or I call it where we stand. Now, here's another one. This is a very important thing. It has to do with the leadership of the congregation. And it's something that's developed over a long period of time. And it has to do with a kind of age integration among leaders and also having male and female leaders. I could tell you a horror story, one of the few horror stories in the history of our community, but what precipitated in part is we had a board of all male elders and too much male energy and not enough female energy. the kind of reflective energy that counterbalances what happens when you have a group of guys together. And it was not good. And thank God, not long after that, we realized, let's have a synagogue board structure where men and women can serve together. And let's also open it up. So it's not just older people, but we have this range. So we have suggested, and I think they've been affirmed, three new leaders, two of whom are women in the congregation, and one guy, and not a huge age spread, but a meaningful age spread, because that becomes important. This really does have real implications for continuity. You've got to have a broad representation. If you don't, you build in certain blind spots in the emotional and thinking equation, if you will. And so it's something we stand for, and it's very important. And then, moving on from that, I want to tell you about another thing that will help us be built to last, and that is a plan for continuity. You've got to always look to the future, and we have looked way out into the future, and we've saying, how do we get there? How do we get there well? How do we get there well? If you don't have a plan that really is a good succession plan, where the values of the community become transferred to new leaders who can carry it forward in the decades ahead, then you really seal your own fate. Have you ever been in one of these congregations and you walk in and there's like a huge building and there's like nine people there and they're all elderly and they're wondered, you know, what happened? I mean, we remember years ago it was a thriving community. What happened? Well, there was no real succession plan. Now, here's another thing that continuity demands, and that I feel real good about our synagogue. It goes like this. Continuity demands not going it alone. Continuity demands not going it alone. What do I mean by that? Well, we've always believed since the get-go at Ruach that we have to be part of interconnected institutions if we're going to have something that's built to last. And so what does that mean? Well, Ruach actually was instrumental in starting the Messianic Jewish Theological Institute. Not we weren't instrumental in the sense that we were the only ones who did it. I don't want to overstate the case. But we had a very important impact. So you have your theological school, MJTI, for training rabbis and lay leaders, and then you have your MJRC, the Messianic Jewish Rabbinical Council. It's for coming up with halakhic norms that can guide our lives together and give us unity and peace about what it means to be Jewish and what that looks like. And then you got Camp Or Lador, which really directly came out of the work of Ruach Israel. So you got a place for your teens so they don't get lost to Messianic Judaism during that very impressionable period of being a teenager. And then you got the UMJC, the Union. Last week, Monique was here, the executive director, and many of you met her, and she's terrific. And that's our denomination, where we connect with others. So the point I'm making, if you want to be built to last, don't go it alone, but be sure that you build with interlocking institutions. And that is exactly what we have done. Another thing that you got to have if you're going to make it long term, and you have to give serious attention to caring for our resources. But let me give you some backdrop from the Parsha which echoes this idea. You see, it says this, and this is from the Parsha, and Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And so here you have Isaac fixing those wells. What do wells represent? Water, they represent life, the sustenance of the community. And Isaac redigs those wells, clears them out. And we need well-functioning wells, or we need a well-functioning well. Very important. You got to take care of your resources if you're going to make it long-term. Critically important thing, and we give it our best shot, and the Finance Committee under the able leadership of Bob Krasny will be leading us to discover a sweet spot. Now, what is the sweet spot? The sweet spot is the spot between faith, which says, hey, listen, Let's go for it. God will provide. That's a very important perspective. But the other side of the equation is equally important. What's realistic given the financial realities that we face? And you have people on this side of the equation, people who gravitate in one way, the faith way, and other people gravitate toward the what are the facts on the ground kind of way, and both are together, but both need to be factored in if we're going to move ahead. Moving on. If you want to be built to last, if you want to make it another 40 years, if you want your grandchildren to be bar mitzvahed here, etc., etc., accountability is critical. You know what I mean by accountability? You know that word, right? Accountability. Well, what do? Well, we have term limits for our leaders. Our elected leaders have term limits. You can run for 2 consecutive terms of 3 years, and then you got to take a year off because we don't want anyone to own a role, a position, except your professionals. When you have a professional role, obviously, you know, it shouldn't be that way. But for elected officials, term limits, we would rather have the community breathe in terms of its leadership than to encrust leadership in such a way that that happens sometimes without term limits. Here's another one. You know, the rabbis in this congregation can't sign a check, have absolutely no control of the money. That's really important. That's a very, very important element in accountability. I don't want it. Leave it to other people who are smart about those things. Naturally, we share our values, blah, 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 but I don't want that. And I know one of the points of tremendous disequilibrium in some immature congregations is you have the husband, the rabbi, and the wife handles the finances. Forget about it. Bad idea. You got to have accountability, okay? And here's another element of accountability, and many of you, or at least some of you, have experienced this. If I see something, I'm speaking for Rabbi Nathan too. If we see something, we're going to say something. This is not just a spiritual free-for-all, and if we feel that you're going into a direction which is deleterious to yourself or to other people, we reserve the right to tell you about it. We're not going to patronize you, and we're not going to just pretend out of fear that you might leave or something like that. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. Now, we're not going to be looking for stuff. Don't get me wrong. We don't want to have this critical spirit. We don't. But if we see something, we're going to say something. You need accountability, not just us. Everybody needs it. Everybody. And that's part of the motivation for being part of a congregation. Okay? So, honesty mixed with kindness guides us in the interests of shalom bayit, a peaceful house. That's the goal. You want to have a peaceful house. You don't want a contentious house. You want a peaceful house. And I want to tell you, the dynamics I've been describing, I'll give you one really cool example. And I mentioned this not long ago. Our board meetings are 2.5 hours to 3 hours long, no breaks, and they are fun. They're fun. Why? Because board members are honest with each other. No one holds back for fear that, you know, there's proper restraint out in a social context, but no, everyone's honest, but everyone listens to everybody else, takes everyone seriously, and it's a joy. It's the way it is. Now, 3 hours, I mean, by the end, you're tired, but it's been fun. It's been really fun because of this kind of ethos that we're trying to develop. If you want to be built for last, you have to have an outward look, not just an inward look. And so we got Ruach House. And, you know, another example struck me. Whenever we have a bar bat mitzvah here, the kid has to have a service project. They have to do something for the community of a humanitarian nature, because we don't want to just raise a bunch of self-absorbed, self-indulgent kids. We want to raise people who have a sense that there's a world out there that needs to be loved and protected. And so it's an example. A relaxed orientation while seeking excellence. Did you know that every staff meeting we have, we say, how did the service go the previous week? What can be better? What can be done better? And we don't do it with a kind of unhealthy, critical eye that just nitpicks. No. If we nitpick, it's how we do things so that we can do it better, so that you, when you come to services, can be picked up, carried along into the presence of God all together with Messiah leading us forward as our great Shliach Tzibor, our ultimate canter, right? And then at the end of the service to set you down. That is the goal. And so an orientation toward excellence, but we don't beat up on each other. We just try and do better. That's all. We just try and give it our best shot better all the time. No fear of experimentation. Trial and error are just ducky from our point of view. Recently, we made a mistake. We sent out a mailing. It was expensive. We sent it out to 7,000, I think. Was it 7,000 Jewish households? I don't remember. You recall? 5,000. Okay, 5,000, but a lot in the area here. Total dud. Why? We put it in the wrong kind of envelope. It's not the kind of thing that people are going to open. It was all about the high holidays. The art was beautiful. No one opened it. All right, so how do we approach that? Do we beat ourselves up? No, we go, hey, we'll figure it out for next time. We'll do a better job next time. We don't beat ourselves up. We just try and do better. It's that pursuit of excellence in a kind of relaxed fashion that I think is really something. And to be built to last, you gotta emphasize the children. So important. The kids, this is something you could be happy about. Most kids, when I was growing up in Hebrew school and all the rest, and once you got past your bar mitzvah, you were out of there. Is that true with any of you? You were out of there. Every Saturday morning at 9:45, I meet with the three kids who just became bar and bat mitzvah this past year. They're going on in their Hebrew studies. Isn't that cool? I think it is the coolest thing. And they're wonderful young people, as you know them well. And we're going to have a renewed youth group soon, and we've got our Shabbat school, Hebrew school. And finally, Built to Last begins and ends with love. Begins and ends with love for God, for Messiah Yeshua. And I just love when we, during the Hu Eloheinu, when we're all praying together, and it's, you can just feel the love of God in the room. It's so precious. Love for Am Yisrael, for our people Israel. And we give it our best shot, but don't expect perfection here, but we give it our best shot to try and love each other. We give it our best shot. We don't get it all right all the time, but we really do try. You try. I try. The board tries. Our staff tries. We really do believe that that's what God would have us do. So in 2019, I mentioned we're going to celebrate our 40th birthday. It's the year we were incorporated. In 1979, we were incorporated. But we have a vision for another 40 years, and it's going to involve young leaders taking over and accountability and experimentation and a vision with passion for the important beliefs which bind us together and an outward focus and loving children and love for one another. It's all part of the picture. If we continue to try to embody these things, I think we have a real shot at being built to last. We'll become worthy of the words spoken by our Messiah Yeshua to a man who used his resources that were entrusted to him to further God's purposes. You'll recognize these words. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." May this be our lot together at Congregation Ruach Israel. Shabbat Shalom.
Please, O Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah. For Messiah.